get down to it, these studios are so concerned with money, and the state has made a real effort to attract film business, you know, and they have.
Right.
They've really done a great job, you know, better than Michigan, really.
Sure.
And, you know, trying to compete with Louisiana and Mexico.
All right. Can I ask you guys a few questions?
Absolutely.
All right. So for you, you know, you've written a few scripts, and it looked like
it's the first movie I had produced.
So why this script?
Well, first of all, this is the one that they let me make. You know, that's definitely the answer. I mean, I'd written a bunch of scripts. I'd had good reaction to my work, but I never had anyone say, like, yeah, I want to make this movie with you. And I finished this script, and I started sending it around, and I got that reaction for the first time in my life, you know, and it sort of went from there.
And then, so it seemed like, you know, you have kind of a love of women in general, and this is so profound. This is something that was home to you.
It is. You know, it's funny because, like, you make a movie like this and you work with 12 actresses, and they were all fantastic, but it's exhausting, man. And you think, like, I just don't know if I can take it. And then I flew directly back to L.A. after shooting, and I was ready for, like, a break, just to, like, hang with the bros for a little while.
There's a lot of estrogen.
And then you walk out to the streets of L.A. and you just realize, man, these women, they're the best thing. You know, there's a line in Back to the Future 2 where he says, I'm going to give up time travel, focus on the other great mystery of the universe.
Oh, right.
Women. Changed my life in L.A.
So, you know, if you were to put it into words, what would you say is kind of the recipe for success for women?
Well, you mean
women for success, but for scoring?
For having relationships?
Yeah, I mean,
you should answer this, because Adam is way better with women than I am.
The recipe, well, you know, I think part of it is, like, you cannot naturally be a scumbag. That really helps. I think that, believe it or not, you know, a lot more people than you, even like a lot of good people, I mean, even people my friends who I really like, you know, sometimes have a tendency to sort of
come off terrible.
Yeah, and they're not funny way. I mean, in the, like, uncomfortable, like, people get drunk and it's, you make, because you want, you know, you want girls they like, you want to touch things, you know, but it's like, you have to really. I mean, okay, so the short answer, being fucking uber respectful and being a gentleman, I think really helps, and I think they appreciate it, and I think it makes you feel better about yourself, you know what I mean? I think that, you know, that is probably the number one first and foremost thing, and then other than that, it helps to have a sense of humor, and, you know, be kind and all those things, and then it's down to looks.
It's looks. You know, whenever you read a magazine article with like an interview with a girl, and you're always like, what do you look for in a man? They never say looks. They always say, like, sense of humor.
Right.
Personality.
Bullshit. Come on.
I will say bullshit to an extent, but I also will say the average, it isn't. I mean, I do think that at the same time, on the whole, just taking a look around the world, I think they are less look obsessed than we are.
That's absolutely true. They're willing to give a little more. We have the shallow prize certainly you and I do.
So, you know, in the film I got kind of, there was a sense of, you know, timing, a sense of serendipity. It was about
absolutely.
Love, about life. What do you view to be the takeaway?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this with each other a little bit lately, and I do think the movie is really about these three people coming together at moments when they're all in very different kinds of crises, you know, and it's sort of about, I mean, I think that the heart of the story is that it's about a young guy who, you know, is in a very specific kind of crisis in his life, a kind of very personal romantic crisis, and he encounters this woman who is going through a much larger life crisis, and it puts his sort of whole thing in an interesting perspective, and hopefully, you know, changes them for the better, you know. And I do think it's about how people relate when they're in conflict, you know, with themselves.
And then that was that suburban Detroit?
It was written as suburban Detroit. Okay. I mean, for exactly these financial reasons that I'm talking about, we were forced to shoot in Canada,
okay.
Which was beautiful and fine, but certainly not Michigan.
Right. All right, one more question for you. So you worked with your dad.
Yeah, we did. You know, this movie worked out in a funny way, but because you know, I finished the script and my family, we're very close. Certainly my brother and my father and I have a very intense relationship, both personally and professionally. You know, we were very involved in each other's work. And when I finished the script, he instantly said to me, "I want to help you make this movie in any way I possibly can." And I, you know, knowing that it was a kind of character movie and that is not necessarily the most in vogue thing in Hollywood right now, I wanted all the help I could possibly get, you know. And he sort of offered his assistance, and then almost immediately after that happened, Warner Brothers and Castle Rock became involved sort of independently of that, you know, of him and in fact even any knowledge that he was associated with the thing. And his role during the production became way more that of like an advisor and a consigliere than an actual producer. Also, I had these two fantastic producers that were on the movie that were really experienced, talented guys.
Alright, you know, so for you, you held casting for a while.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how can you personally relate to the role of Carter to you and your real life?
Well, certainly with his, I can relate to his upbringing and sort of his fact. I mean, it's funny, there's a lot of parallels with Carter and John, and there's a lot of funny parallels with John and I and their daughter Carter. You know, his family comes from Michigan, and he's raised in Southern California, and he has this sort of, I don't know, nostalgia probably from movies.
I was just going to say that.
And it's got nostalgia from, you know, 80s movies about you know, the real suburbs in high school and seasons that I certainly have. And I've always had this fascination with fall and having never lived through it, you know.
And I mean, I think it's even broader than that to apply to even relationships, some sort of, you know, inconsistency between reality and movie reality, and trying to reconcile those things a little bit. It's very much a part of the character, and it's true of you, I think.
Well, we live, you know, we're very, I'm constantly, like, nice film library that I mentioned almost everything in my life to, and I know John certainly does, to the movie moment equivalent. Mm-hmm. And also, it just is, it was written, the dialogue is what it is, and it was written very much, it was not hard to wrap my head around his voice. I mean, it was it fit like a glove.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when you're acting, how do you feel that you, you know, really become that character as opposed to indicate that character? How do you, you know, what's
the... I don't think about it, honestly. It's, I can kind of do it, and I have to do it in the moment, and I try and be as true as I possibly can to the moment that you're playing, and I take it small increments at a time, and I don't really, more than I look back, and once again, and also part of that may just be, I didn't think Carter was that much of a stretch, so I didn't feel like I had to do deep character work.
I guess the more natural he is, the easier it is for
me. Absolutely, you know, and absolutely.
And, you know, movie acting, that really is a big part of it because, you know, it's like movies tend to show you the truth about someone. And that's why I think there's a distinction between fine actors and true movie stars, you know, because there's some quality in certain actors that we just respond to and we want to go back and see them, you know. Even though we know that, you know, that Hugh Grant is always Hugh Grant, there's something irresistible about him and it comes across on the screen, you know. So it's like, you know, Adam is a very authentic actor. It's very straightforward.
Was he your first pick?
He was my only pick. I mean, I read a bunch of people. I auditioned people for a long time. I liked a lot of actors, but there was no one that I was comfortable making the movie with until I met Adam. And Adam never auditioned. We instantly knew. We had a sort of a total rapport and connection. We knew it was going to be, like such.
All right, so, for you, I'm trying to imagine myself at your age doing what you do. And, before you were an actor, you were not an actor, so I'm wondering, which life do you like better? Pre-Hollywood life or current life?
Well, they both have their, it's funny, but they both have their sort of, I don't feel like I've had this cool thing about Hollywood a little. In ways you have to grow up, and I feel very adult in certain ways, and in certain ways, I don't, and I still get to be in this land of make-believe, and I'm so lucky that I found a profession that almost no one gets to, where you still get to sort of dream and hope to make it big, and everyone else my age knows exactly, mostly, it's changing, people are finding their careers later in life, but mostly, you sort of know, you've got it figured out, by the time you get to a certain age, you can kind of almost predict the future, and that can be comforting, also. That is also a downside, but the cool thing is, acting, unlike, say, sports, where it's also maybe a childlike dream, where when you're 15, you're not in the Olympics, good night.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to go, I'm 27, I just don't know if, maybe the world could still be my oyster or not, but it's nice to have that possibility there, and sort of have that kind of, basically, I think you get to dream a little bit longer in this profession, so I like them both, and I sort of feel like they're one and the same.
Okay.
I spent, my youth being a kid and sort of hoping, kind of dreaming about the future, and I kind of still am. It's really great. I do not take that part of it for granted.
Huh. So, in some ways, it's not different. In some ways,
it's because I never had that middle ground. I came up here and I struggled for a few years and I had some shitty jobs. But, I never had that point where I was stuck in a career I didn't like.
Okay.
I've still been looking up, hopefully, and with some hope, so my entire life. So that is a very fun and great thing. But, I also had a great childhood. I spent a lot of it at the beach and I had a lot of good friends there. And I hung with some really great people and I spent a lot of time in the ocean, which is another whole other experience. That's therapeutic and it's great in its own way. In fact, it's probably definitely more therapeutic for me than that. Which one I like more? I don't know. I will say I'm at least equal to the most happiest I've been in my life right now. I'm so happy to be the age I'm at, where I'm at, doing what I'm doing. That is, I can't picture it much better than that. It's pretty fantastic. Really, and I don't just mean that, right? I really do. I wouldn't say that every year if I'm saying that.
For this year?
Yeah, for this, being specifically 27, I'm like,
yeah.
This is, at some point, it's not going to be the greatest age. Everyone's like, oh, man, 30s are the best. No, 40, whenever you hit that age, you're always in the best day. I don't imagine. I imagine when I'm 4, I'll go, 25 to 35 was the best time. Was the time.
It's a good bracket we're in right now.
And it's great because we get older and we don't have to worry about having kids so early. I feel like you get your childhood a little longer now. You take longer with school, you take longer finding a career. The average person changes careers so much more than he did a generation ago. And it's and on one hand, the divorce rate is really depressing.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's like people are looking for romance way later into their life and dating, which is kind of, the flip side that maybe good about that. So I still feel like I'm getting to do all the kid stuff. That's great.
Alright, so probably my last question.
Cool.
So you've racked up a lot of these, beautiful people awards, right?
I don't think so.
It seemed like it, but I guess I kind of wonder.
Awards. Every year People Magazine's 50 actors.
That's right. They pick our good looks.
Yeah, and I was one of them. So definitely award winner.
What do you view to be your appeal? Why do you think people thank you for that?
I think honestly, and I wouldn't say this, but
It's the hardest for you to answer.
Right, right. No, but I do believe it's probably my abs.
Really?
People like abs cut from stone. I get it. I do the work and it pays off.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, obviously. So, and you're firm in the rear,
So old-fashioned, but it's like, especially older, like, girls never, like, our age never worry about the abs.
No, but older women love it.
Yeah. It's like this last generation really appreciate a good male ass.